Restart. Jacqueline Eckert, this mic is all yours.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Awakening Together, our new home, Awakening Together Sanctuary Home. What we do first in our service is we say good morning to each other, much as like you would do in a brick-and-mortar church. We reach over our pew, we say good morning, maybe say where you're from, what the weather's like there. We just want to greet each other, and we will do that while Lynn plays our opening music.
To the calling of the mystic awakening, in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
And beautiful music. I love that opening song. I saw a lot of you saying the same thing. Okay. So now let's look at our statement of purpose. I've got that in front of me somewhere. Here it is. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Thanks, Barb, for posting those. And then this morning, we want to look at core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Okay. Hmm. All right, announcements. All right, first of all, we have movie night tonight, spirit-led movie watchers discussion group. The movie that we watch for this month, and you can still watch today and then join us tonight, but the movie is, gosh, I do this every time I blank out. My mind just goes blank. Hate Ship, Love Ship is the name of the movie. If I got that wrong, somebody tell me. Yeah. That should be available on all the, you know, the major online carriers. But if you want to watch it before we, Hate Ship, Love Ship. Thank you, Lynn, with Kristen Wiig and Guy Pearce. It's a great movie. So you still have time to watch it before we meet tonight. So what we do is we watch a movie with spirit. The advice is pray before, journal after, and then we come together to talk about it. And and then that's on the movie discussion is on at 8 p.m. tonight, this same room. And then immediately following our movie discussion group, please stay for Bruce Rawls. He is teaching a mini-series. It starts, of course, at 9 p.m. Right here in this room. This will be his second in a three-week mini-series. His topic is Not No, Turning Up the Volume on Our Inner Kindness Teacher. Turning Up the Volume on Our Inner Kindness Teacher's Gentle Mindfulness. So be sure and join us here for the second in this three-week mini-series from Bruce Rawls. And everyone here knows this, but if you're listening on the radio, you might not know this. On Thursday night, Pal Talk deleted the Awakening Together Sanctuary. There's a technical story behind it. We won't go into that, but what you do need to know is that you can now find Awakening Together in Pal Talk under the Religion and Spirituality category under the Spirituality Rooms. We were unable to use the exact same name as before, so we're now Awakening. We are now Awakening Together Sanctuary Home. And thanks, Lynn, and Lynn just did miraculous things to make this happen when the original room disappeared. So thank you again, Lynn, for all you do. Thank you for going and finding people this morning and getting them all here. That's great. Okay, and then finally, I want to mention that the 2016 Awakening Together Fall Retreat has been planned. It will be October 23rd through the 30th in Colorado Springs at the Franciscan Retreat Center. That's where we did it last year. It's a beautiful retreat center. It will feature Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud. You can register for one, two, or all three events. This year we have early bird pricing. You get a discount if you're paid in full by August the 15th. You can look at this further. More information is available on our site, Awakening Together, on the events menu. Okay, and again, thank you, Barb, for posting. Okay, and now we will have another bit of, yay! Yeah, we do have some folks who have registered already. Now we'll have a bit more music, and I'll let go of the mic so Lynn can play it for us. Thanks again, Lynn. Speak.
till Christ shall dwell in human hearts and sin and sorrow cease.
Let us join in prayer. Good morning, Father. Father, as we move through this service today, help us to discern the truth of what's said in this message. Help us to discern the truth of our daily lives. Help us to look to you. Help us to seek the kingdom first, so that you can lead us, take us where we need to be, show us what we need to do. Help us to learn to rest in your embrace. Amen. All right, and now we will have the reading by Barb Dearwater. Barb, take the mic.
Can you hear me okay? Great. Was it plugged in? Okay. The reading from this morning is from Nisargadatta Maharaj, and it is number 12. I think that's what the announcement said. Let's see. I don't know what you officially call those, but it's conversation number 12. That's it. Right. Okay. The person is not reality. Questioner, kindly tell us how you realized. Maharaj. I met my guru when I was 34 and realized by 37. Questioner, what happened? What was the change? Maharaj, pleasure and pain lost their sway over me. I was free from desire and fear. I found myself full, needing nothing. I saw that in the ocean of pure awareness, on the surface of the universal consciousness, the numberless waves of the phenomenal worlds arise and subside beginninglessly and endlessly. As consciousness, they are all me. As events, they are all mine. There is a mysterious power that looks after them. That power is awareness, self, life, God, whatever name you give it. It is the foundation, the ultimate support of all that is. Just like gold is the basis for all gold jewelry. And it is so intimately ours. Abstract the name and shape from the jewelry and the gold becomes obvious. Be free of name and form and of the desires and fears they create. Then what remains? Questioner, nothingness. Maharaj, yes, the void remains. But the void is full to the brim. It is the eternal potential as consciousness is the eternal actual. Questioner, by potential, you mean the future? Maharaj, past, present, and future, they are all there, and infinitely more. Questioner, but since the void is void, it is of little use to us. Maharaj, how can you say so? Without breach and continuity, how can there be rebirth? Can there be renewal without death? Even the darkness of sleep is refreshing and rejuvenating. Without death, we would have been bogged up forever in eternal senility. Questioner, is there no such thing as immortality? Maharaj, when life and death are seen as essential to each other, as two aspects of one being, that is immortality. To see the end in the beginning and beginning in the end is the intimation of eternity. Definitely, immortality is not continuity. Only the process of change continues. Nothing lasts. Questioner, awareness lasts. Maharaj, awareness is not of time. Time exists in consciousness only. Beyond consciousness, where are time and space? Questioner, within the field of your consciousness, there is your body also. Maharaj, of course. But the idea of my body as different from other bodies is not there. To me, it's a body, not my body. A mind, not my mind. The mind looks after the body all right. I need not interfere. What needs to be done is being done in the normal and natural way. You may not be quite conscious of your physiological functions, but when it comes to thoughts and feelings, desires and fears, you become acutely self-conscious. To me, these two are largely unconscious. I find myself talking to people or doing things quite correctly and appropriately without being very much conscious of them. It looks as if I live my physical waking life automatically, reacting spontaneously and accurately. Questioner: does this spontaneous response come as a result of realization or by training? Both. Maharaj says both. Devotion to devotion to your goal makes you live a clean and orderly life given to search for truth and to helping people. And realization makes noble virtue easy and spontaneous by removing for good the obstacles in the shape of desires and fears and wrong ideas. Questioner: don't you have desires and fears anymore? Maharaj: my destiny was to be born a simple man, a commoner, a humble tradesman, with little of formal education. My life was the common kind, with common desires and fears. When, through my faith in my teacher and obedience to his words, I realized my true being, I left behind my human nature to look after itself until its destiny is exhausted. Occasionally, an old reaction, emotional or mental, happens in the mind, but it is at once noticed and discarded. After all, as long as one is burdened with a person, one is exposed to its idiosyncrasies and habits. Questioner: are you not afraid of death? Maharaj: I am dead already. Questioner: in what sense? Maharaj: I am double dead. Not only am I dead to my body, but to my mind too. Questioner: well, you do not look dead at all. Maharaj: that's what you say. You seem to know my state better than I do. Questioner: but I just do not understand. You say you are bodiless and mindless, while I see you very much alive and articulate. Maharaj: a tremendously complex work is going on all the time in your brain and body. Are you conscious of it? Not at all. Yet for an outsider, all seems to be going on intelligently and purposefully. Why not admit that one's entire personal life may sink largely below the threshold of consciousness and yet proceed sanely and smoothly? Questioner: is it normal? Maharaj: what is normal? Is your life, obsessed by desires and fears, full of strife and struggle, meaningless and joyless, normal? To be acutely conscious of your body, is it normal? To be torn by feelings, tortured by thoughts, is it normal? A healthy body, a healthy mind live largely unperceived by their owner. Only occasionally, through pain or suffering, they call for attention and insight. Why not extend the same to the entire personal life? One can function rightly, responding well and fully to whatever happens, without having to bring it into the focus of awareness. When self-control becomes second nature, awareness shifts its focus to deeper levels of existence and action. Questioner, don't you become a robot? Maharaj, what harm is there in making automatic what is habitual and repetitive? It is automatic anyhow. But when it is also chaotic, it causes pain and suffering and calls for attention. The entire purpose of a clean and well-ordered life is to liberate man from the thraldom of chaos and the burden of sorrow. Questioner, you seem to be in favor of a computerized life. Maharaj, what is wrong with a life which is free of from problems? Personality is merely a reflection of the real. Why should not the reflection be true to the original as a matter of course automatically? Need the person have any designs of its own? The life of which it is an expression will guide it. Once you realize that the person is merely a shadow of the reality, but not reality itself, you cease to fret and worry. Let me read that again. Once you realize that the person is merely a shadow of the reality, but not reality itself, you cease to fret and worry. You agree to be guided from within, and life becomes a journey into the unknown. End of reading. Thank you. Turning the mic back over to Jacqueline.
Okay, thanks, Barb. Beautifully read. Yeah, thanks so much. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's look at this a little bit more closely. So the questioner says, well, so what changed? You know, how did you become realized, basically? What changed? And Maharaj says, pleasure and pain lost their sway over me. I was free from desire and fear. I found myself full, needing nothing. No fears, no desires. Now, what does that sound like? Who has fears? Who has desires? That's the personal self, right? You know, you've probably heard me contrast before what we are with what we think we are. What we are is everything. We are all that exists. We are the isness, the all. What do we think we are? We think we're these little bodies, these little personal selves with these little desires and these needs. These lacks and limitations. The admonition here, the recommendation here, is to let go of the personal self. Let go of our belief in ourselves as the personal selves. Let go of desire and fear. Only the desire to perpetuate the personal self, to tend to its continuation and its comfort, results in desires and fear. Maharaj says there's events. There's a mysterious power that looks after them. That power is awareness, self, life, God, whatever name you give it. The mysterious power looks after them. Well, that's what reminded me of the Lilies of the Field passage. This has always been one of my very favorite Bible passages. That's Matthew 6:28. It says, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you?" And this is exactly what we're talking about. This is the mysterious power, God, self, life, awareness, that looks after the things in this world of form. Let me read you that same passage from NTI. Matthew 25 through 34 is the way it's grouped in NTI. It says, "Therefore, do not worry about which way you should go or what you should do next. Instead, ask now for the surety of the light to light the way for your next step. Listen in quiet to the guidance of the heart as it tells you where to place your step. Be concerned only with letting your steps be led. Be concerned only with letting your steps be led. For by following the guidance of the light, you will surely be walking the way of life. For the light and life are one. But if you let your mind be distracted by other concerns, and you begin to worry about troubles within the world, you will forget to step carefully with the light, and you will run frantically into the dark. Then you shall look around and realize that once more you are lost, for you cannot find the path of life without the guidance of the light. For the light and life are one. If you have lost one, you are lost from the other." Yes, be concerned only with letting your steps be led. And Maharaj says, "Be free of name and form and of the desires and fears they create, then what remains?" So what remains when we let go of the personal self? What remains after form? And he says here, eternal potential. Eternal potential. What is that? It's the quantum field, right? It's the isness. It's the basis of all that is. Once you take away the personal self, what are you left with? You're left with who you really are. You're left with the quantum field, the eternal potential. And, you know, we've been talking a lot in this room lately about the difference between seeking and experience and seeking the truth. And this is really the same thing. This is the difference between seeking an experience and seeking the truth. In that, if we're concerned about the personal self, we will be seeking an experience. We'll be seeking, you know, the bells and whistles, the lights, the visions, the, you know, whatever we seek when we, for example, settle down to meditate. But the advice here, the advice from the Sargadatta Maharaj, is to seek beyond experience. According to Nisargadatta Maharaj and some of his further writings as well, the field of possibilities contains both sorrow and joy, pleasure and pain, life and death. So the search for who we really are, the search for the truth as opposed to the search for experience, the search for the truth is not about protecting the form. The search for truth is not about pleasing the form. The search for truth is about going beyond form. Yes, lovely Garb. I surrender what I think I know into the hands of God. Maharaj says, "Immortality is not continuity. Only the process of change continues. Nothing in form lasts. This cannot be what we are. Consciousness is what we experience. Consciousness is what we experience. Consciousness occurs within awareness. Awareness is what we are. Awareness is beyond form. Awareness is outside of time. Awareness is the quantum field. This is what we are. Because awareness is the quantum field, because awareness is eternal potential, what is there to protect? The only thing that is immortal is change. Right? You can't protect change. All you can do with change is allow change to be. There is nothing to protect. What we are doesn't need protection. Now, that should sound a lot like A Course in Miracles, right? How does that go? Somebody remind me. Nothing unreal exists. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. There is nothing to protect. What we are doesn't need protection. So let's talk about how do we realize the true self? How do we go beyond the personal self? Maharaj says the idea my body is different from other bodies is not there. To me, it is a body, not my body, a mind, not my mind. The mind looks after the body all right. I need not interfere. He says, you may not be quite conscious of your physiological functions, but when it comes to thoughts and feelings, desires and fears, you become acutely self-conscious. That's a little s, self. To me, these two are largely unconscious. I find myself talking to people or doing things quite correctly and appropriately without being very much conscious of them. It looks as if I live my physical waking life automatically, reacting spontaneously and accurately. This is the lilies of the field. This is leaving it within the hands of God. When I read this, what it reminds me is another of my favorite Bible verses, which has always stuck with me. When he talks about letting the mind take care of the body, it reminds me of Luke 9:60, let the dead bury the dead. I'll quote that to you, Luke 9:59-60. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the mind worry about the body. Let these things take care of themselves. Let those things within that level of experience take care of themselves. That's, you know, it's all about where our focus is. Focus on purpose. Focus on awareness, not on the personal self. Now, I want to again turn to NTI to look at that, let the dead bury the dead, Luke 59 and 60. NTI, it's grouped as Luke 57-62. To be my teacher, you must let my word be first in your mind in all things. You must let my word be first in your mind in all things. This is the perspective you shall hold. Through holding this perspective in willingness and trust, you shall know what to do through me. What's that sound like? Lilies of the field, right? How do you do it? Focus on purpose. Focus on awareness, not on the personal self. If you're thinking about what happens to the personal self, if you're thinking about the comfort of the personal self, if you're focused on controlling what happens fixing what needs fixing. Making yourself comfortable, fulfilling your perceived needs. Where's your focus going to be? It's going to be on the personal self. If you're thinking about what happens to the personal self, where will your focus be? Your focus will not be on purpose. Your focus will not be on awareness. Your focus will not be on, quote unquote, my word. But the promise is that if your focus is on my word, if your focus is on purpose, if your focus is on awareness, all that stuff takes care of itself. This is why we allow all things to be as they are. This is what forgiveness is about. This is what letting go of attachments is about. It's not because we're resigned to our fate. Oh, well, you know, that's the way it is. That's just what we'll have to live with. No. It's about allowing the dead to bury the dead. Right? It's not about being spiritual. Oh, I allow all things to be as they are because I'm spiritual. No, because this is how it's done. This is how we search for truth rather than an experience. We allow things to be as they are. We allow life to run itself. The problem is, we believe we're separate from God. Right? Pardon me. Now that should sound familiar. Who, when they read that in A Course in Miracles, said, yeah, right. That's not my problem. My problem is I can't pay the rent. My problem is, you know, my husband's cheating on me. My problem is, I mean, whatever you thought your problem was when you first read that. A Course in Miracles said, your problem is you believe you're separate from God. I'm like, I got a lot of problems, but that's not one of them. But that is the problem. The problem is you believe you're the person, the point of experience, the personal self. So, the question is, okay, if that's the problem, how do I move beyond the problem? Well, I have a number of suggestions. I can begin to become aware. I can begin to watch. And most of us, if you're in this room, you've already begun. So forgive the world for the word begin. But I can begin to examine, for example, my motivation. Am I acting out of self-interest? Let's look at, I have some, yeah, well, I've tried out, thank God, that's good. I have some other quotes from Nisargadatta Maharaj that I think are really helpful in examining these practical tools, if you will. Conversation 31, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, everybody sees the world through the idea he has of himself. As you think yourself to be, so you think the world to be. If you imagine yourself as separate from the world will appear as separate from you, and you will experience desire and fear. I do not see the world as separate from me, and so there's nothing for me to desire or fear. So let's talk about the practical exercise. Am I acting out of self-interest? You know, I've talked a number of times in this room about this contraction exercise that I practice for so long. I still practice. I teach when I teach classes at my local church. Pardon me. I like to teach this as well because it's so helpful. The contraction exercise. So when I'm confronted with anything, do I feel expansive or contractive? Right? And if somebody says, "Ooh, can I borrow your car?" Do I get a contraction? If so, I learn to do the thing that makes me feel expansive. how is this helpful in this context? I begin to examine my motivation. So am I acting out of fear? Yeah. Am I acting out of self-interest? If I'm acting out of self-interest, what am I identified with? Where am I focusing my attention? Is it on purpose? Is it on awareness? Or is it on the personal self? Yeah, me. let's practice letting go, right? Let go and let God. The whole world knows to let go and let God. Maharaj says, there's trouble only when you cling to something. When you hold on to nothing, no trouble arises. The relinquishing of the lesser is the gaining of the greater. Give up all and you gain all. Then life becomes what it was meant to be. Pure radiation from an inexhaustible source. In that light, the world appears dimly like a dream. Right? So what's that sound like? That sounds like that expansion we were talking about, right? But you have to let go. You have to let go. Maharaj says, well, at last the dream has temporary being. It is your desire to hold on to it that creates the problem. Let go. Stop imagining the dream is yours. Yeah, let go. If you disidentify yourself with the dream, if you quit identifying with the dream, with what's happening in the dream, with the need to control and take care of and let me move this so that this works out, right? If you step back into awareness and let go, if you can just let go the reins, you can stop imagining that the dream is yours. Then you can step back into awareness. Then you can let the dead take care of the dead. Let the world take care of itself. Okay, how else can we do this? How else can we move beyond the personal self? Well, we can pay attention. Where are we placing our attention? Well, one of the ways that we can pay attention is we can pay attention to the energy in our body. And I often find this when the energy shifts. If you're paying attention, you can feel the energy shift. I often experience this, very often actually, experience this, for example, when I'm watching, when I'm looking at Facebook, right, when I'm Facebooking, I will feel that energy shift. It will say, okay, that's enough. Time to do something else, right? I get that same feeling. You know, it's kind of a, I don't know. I can't describe the feeling. I just know that I know the energy shift when I feel it. It's like having way too much coffee. that's how it feels to me. Yeah, time to go. Yeah. So just pay attention. Be aware. Hang on a second. Here's a good thing from Maharaj. It's wonderful. It says, at every moment, be aware. At every moment, whatever comes to you unasked comes from God and will surely help you. Let me try that again. At every moment, whatever comes to you unasked comes from God and will surely help you if you make the fullest use of it. It is only what you strive for out of your own imagination and desire that gives you trouble. Accept life as it comes and you will find a blessing. So be aware, watch, look for synchronicities, look for things that appear that you didn't expect to appear. Use those things to their fullest. Be aware, pay attention. Listen, stop the chatter. And one of the ways that we pay attention, one of the ways that we shift our focus from the personal self and listen and be aware is to stop the chatter. Stop the self-talk. If you're not aware whether or not you self-talk, experiment with it. Really begin to listen to your thoughts. You know, your thoughts may be going, oh man, you suck. You really did that poorly. Or they may be going, yay, you're great. They think you're great. Or wonder what they'll think of me if I do this thing. Right? If you listen, you will hear the chatter. Stop the chatter. Stop paying attention to the chatter and the chatter will stop. How else? How do we move beyond the personal self? We ask, Father, what would you have me do now? How would you react? How would you have me react to this? How would you have me see this? This should sound familiar. These are the questions from Inner Ramana. Ask. Just remember to ask. Even if you think you know, stop anyway and ask. This is how we shift our focus from the personal self to beyond the personal self, to awareness itself. All right. Okay, how else? How can we shift from to beyond the personal self, from the personal self to beyond, to the truth? How can we shift from trying to shape our experience to discovering the truth? We can meditate. Meditate. Meditation is vital. Maharaj says, look at the content of your mind. You are what you think about. Are you not most of the time busy with your own little person and its daily needs? The value of regular meditation is that it takes you away from the humdrum of daily routine and reminds you that you are not what you believe yourself to be. The value of regular meditation is that it takes you away from the humdrum of daily routine and reminds you that you are not what you believe yourself to be. How else? Well, another suggestion for Maharaj is to investigate. He says the illusion of being the body-mind is there only because it is not investigated. Non-investigation is the thread on which all this... Oops, let me do something about that phone. Sorry.
Call from Connie.
She forgot. It's my sister. She'll hang up here in a minute. All right. Where were we? Okay. Investigate. How do we move beyond the personal self? How do we move beyond the desire for experience to the desire for truth? We investigate the personal self. The illusion of being the body-mind is there only because it is not investigated. Non-investigation is the thread on which all the states of mind are strung. It is like darkness in a closed room. It is there, apparently. But when the room is opened, where does it go? It goes nowhere because it was not there. All states of mind, all names and forms of existence are rooted in non-inquiry, non-investigation, in imagination and credulity. It is right to say I am, but to say I am this, I am that, is a sign of not inquiring, not examining, of mental weakness or lethargy. So investigate. You know, when you say, oh, I'm tired, you know, who's tired? Am I tired? Is it true? Who am I? You know, Nisargadatta Maharaj talks a lot about discovering who am I through the process of negation. You know, I'm not that. I'm not that. It's our need to define ourselves that's got us in this predicament in the first place, right? It's our need to define ourselves that keeps us from letting go of the personal self. That's what the personal self is. It's this collection of definitions that we've come up with about ourselves. It's who we believe ourselves to be. So in letting go of that belief, we need to investigate it. Is this who I am? Really? All right. Golf time. I'll tell Connie y'all said hey, my sister. All right. So let's look. Where does that leave us? Well, if we do these things, if we move beyond the desire for experience, if we move beyond the need to protect and make comfortable our personal selves, then we can move into the stage of becoming a lily of the field, right? We can let life take care of itself. In the reading Barb read you this morning, Maharaj says, what is wrong with a life which is free from problems? Personality is merely a reflection of the real. Why should not the reflection be true to the original as a matter of course, automatically? Need the person have any designs of its own? The life of which it is an expression will guide it. Leave the dead to bury the dead, right? Let the mind worry about the body. He says, once you realize that the person is merely a shadow of the reality, this is not who you are. Once you realize that the person is merely a shadow of the reality, but not reality itself, you cease to fret and worry. You agree to be guided from within, and life becomes a journey into the unknown. Oh my God. Wow, what a promise that is. Life becomes a journey into the unknown. In another conversation, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, when effort is needed, effort will appear. When effortlessness becomes essential, it will assert itself. You need not push life about. Just flow with it. And give yourself completely to the task of the present moment, which is the dying now to the now. The lilies of the field passage. Let me see if I can find that. I got paper strewn everywhere here. That's not the right one. Here it is. Why are you worried about clothing or anything else for the personal self, right? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil. They do not spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. The lilies of the field passage is bookended by two other familiar verses. One is the one that talks about no man can serve two masters, right? You can't be in both places at once. You can't be a little concerned with the personal self and a little concerned with awakening. That's when we're just searching for the experience. You have to totally devote yourself to purpose. And that's the second passage. That's the other side of this verse in Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this will be added unto you. So you have to ask yourself, where am I focusing my attention? Am I attempting to manipulate my environment? Am I attempting to control my personal world? Am I focusing my attention almost exclusively on the personal self? I think, you know, most of the time, most of us can answer yes to that question. Who do I think I am? Finally, Maharaj says in another conversation, he says, you people want to become supermen overnight. Stay without ambition, without the least desire, exposed, vulnerable, unprotected, uncertain, and alone. Completely open to and welcoming life as it happens, without the selfish conviction that all must yield you pleasure or profit, material or so-called spiritual. Abandon every attempt, just be. Don't strive, don't struggle, let go every support. Hold on to the blind sense of being, brushing off all else. This is enough. Let purpose be your guide. Let go the personal self. Become a lily of the field. Okay, so thanks for listening. And at this point, we'll have another bit of music that lovely Lynn is going to play. And take this time to contemplate the teaching here today. You might also take this opportunity to make a donation to Awakening Together. Barb will post.
Close your eyes and breathe and know.
trust that you will abide. Let go of the shore and let the water carry you. Let go of the shore. Float into the mystery. Let go of the shore and let the water carry you. Let go of the shore.
Thanks, Lynn. Let go of the shore, Karen Drucker. And Barb, I don't know if you got to post donation link. Please do so if you haven't done so. So at this point, I would love to hear from you guys if you have anything to share. We'd love to hear it. Okay, Gloria, take the mic. Then Jay.
Hello, are you able to hear me today? Okay, perfect. Awesome. I have a new mic, so it's great to know that it's working good. Thank you so much, Jacqueline, for that awesome teaching this morning. A couple of things came to mind for me during contemplation of the message today. First of all, I want to say welcome to this brand new space that we have, and thank you, Lynn, for all that you did to make sure that we were up and running smoothly this morning. And we have filled this new space with lots of love and lots of connection here, so that's awesome. So the other thing I wanted to mention was I was working on my gathering for next week, and what I was able to quickly see is that it's a part two of what Jacqueline was teaching today. She even came very close to some of the references that I will be using next week. So do join me next Sunday. Kathy will be my reader, and we will be doing literally a part two to what we talked about today, or to what Jacqueline talked about today. The one thing that I was thinking as I was contemplating this, or that was coming up for me, was an image that
Gloria, you dropped the mic. Pick it up, please, again.
Okay, am I back? Perfect. Okay, sorry about that. The one image that came up for me during contemplation today was an image of when I was younger. My father was trying to teach me how to drive a manual vehicle, the stick shift. And I never learned how to drive a stick shift, first of all. I never actually fully learned. But I remember being in the car with him, and whenever he would downshift or change gears, the car would kind of jerk, and there would be this jerky motion, and then it'd go into the next gear. And he as he was teaching me to drive, he would say that there's a way, you have to really know when to let the foot up off of the clutch in order to keep that, to make that transition smooth. So I think that image came up for me because for me, as I move from this seeking of experience to more being focused on truth, there's this space where I'm, as I'm shifting gears, letting up off of one clutch and changing into the being more focused on truth, there's that jittery point where literally I go through phases where I'm gripped with fear, and then it'll let go, but I know that as we move through this process, it gets easier. So if I had continued on and really learned how to drive a stick, I would have eventually learned how to shift gears smoothly and go right into the next one. It's just an image that came up for me, and I know that everything is perfect. Everything is perfect just as it is, however it comes up, So I think that's all I wanted to say. Thank you again, Jacqueline, for a great teaching today. Blessings to you all.
Yeah, thanks, Gloria. It was nice to hear your voice, and great to hear your voice, too, this morning, Jacqueline. It was a beautiful message, and I feel the spirit with you for sure. And I was doing my morning contemplation of the book that I'm contemplating now called How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. They recommend you go through one chapter. This is Michael Langford's book of quotes. They recommend you go through one chapter per week, and there's only a few pages per chapter, so the point is to take about a half hour a day and just really be with these quotes as a spiritual practice. And that if you get through them, and you just go back, cycle through them over and over again until the week is up, and then go to the next chapter. So I'm on week two. And as I was doing my contemplation this morning, I knew that it's kind of interesting to watch how my mind will work. A lot of Jacqueline's talk was about, letting the personal self go. I like Bob Ferguson's thoughts about the little guy. He talks about in his book, Listening Attention. And I'm reading his book also called, Dark Zen, Guru on the Bayou. It's kind of a cool... He's actually a good writer. I'd recommend it. It's a good little fiction book. Lynn is reading that too. But it's neat how I would be with a quote and just be in this amazing space with this quote, and then my thought would go to one of the database projects that I'm working on. And I would notice that my mind just went to the database project I was working on. It's like... But what was neat was I saw my mind do that. You understand? Now this is what's new to me. This is the new consciousness that's being developed. Now in the past, it would have not been at all me seeing my mind switch to this database project I'm working on. It would have just been thinking about the database project I'm working on. There would have been no added awareness of that. And so, as if you're standing on a roof, have you ever climbed a ladder and gotten on a roof, and you can see down into the lawn, people down there, and you get a clear view of what's going on down there? Now, you don't really change or have nothing to do with what's going on down there. You're just kind of watching it. And that's a very new experience, and I recommend anyone that feels drawn to practice awareness, watching awareness, a practice of any kind, of any flavor, just try it. It will develop a very, very powerful connection to the moment. And it's a real quick way to help that dissolve out that little self. Because it was almost like, and it's hard to describe exactly what happened, but it happens like, it's weird talking about it because it's one of these inner things, right? So, it's as if somehow the mind, or you could call it the personal self or ego or whatever you want to call it, somehow suspects something's up. It's like something's not right here. Wait, hold on. What's going on here? It was like that kind of thing. Like, what's going on here? What? But it's like I didn't feel that feeling. It was like I was watching that feeling. And it was the strangest thing. I've never had that happen before. It was really cool. It was like just a little bit, that little self, the personal self, lost power in a real way. It lost power. It, to use Gloria's analogy, it downshifted, jerked a little bit, and then went into the lower gear, right? And it wasn't that my mind didn't get distracted and think about something else. It did, but I was watching it happen, you see. And then, really quickly, my mind went right back to the quote. And I could sit with it. And as I did about, I don't know, 6 or 7 quotes during today's session, by the end of the last quotes, those distractions were a lot less. And I didn't get upset with myself that I got distracted either. So, you know, it's good. It was like as my mind, quote unquote, shifts gears, right? It's okay. And I think part of the practice of that watching helps to pull out and disable the power from that, you know, personal self, as Jackie was talking about. So thanks again, Jackie, giving up the mic.
Jay, thanks, Gloria. I mean, and isn't that the truth, what I wrote there? Everything takes care of itself. The spiritual journey takes care of itself once you practice letting go of the personal self. You know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, 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 right? It's just that practice of letting go, of being unconcerned. And as you let go, and the more you let go, and the more you step through the fear that Gloria was talking about, right? Just step through the fear, right? Let go. Be willing to sit in the pain. Be willing to let all things be as they are. The more you can do that, the more you will step back and have the experience that Jay's talking about. And then one day you find out, to use Gloria's imagery, then one day you find out your transitions are completely smooth. That car drives itself. Yeah. So practice, practice. All right, Karen, take the mic.
Hey, thank you. Good morning. When the teacher was talking about how you can just, you know, let the body take care of itself and life really just take care of itself, it reminded me of a contemplation of workbook lesson 111 that I did recently. And it was warning me or reminding me that, you know, the ego tries to do these things also on automatic, and that the ego mind really is lazy, or you could call it a closed mind, but that it's always trying to make really quick snap decisions. It really doesn't want to spend a lot of time, you know, deciding what to do. It thinks it knows based on what it's done in the past. And the idea of I can name that song in three notes is what came to my mind, was It doesn't even want to see through anything to the end. It just wants to make a quick decision based on the first three notes. And so it just, for me, was a good reminder to be in awareness of these automatic things that we are already doing that are being led by the ego instead of spirit. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen. I like that. I can name that song in three notes. I like that. Yeah, that's what we do. We keep on doing what we've always done, right? It's that habit energy that we've talked about before. The challenge is to not run with that habit energy, that habit energy, not to do what we've always done. Step back, wait, pause, wait a beat, you know? Lynn, take the mic.
All right, I can see, and I'm not going to make a whole discussion about this, but these things that happen are really part of the script. So it doesn't really, there's nothing you can do to change what it is. There's nothing I can do to change what is. All I can do is just recognize, as Duff says, it's all perfect. And so the only thing that's a challenge is my own opinion about it. And when my own opinion about it is that it's good or it's bad or I wish it didn't happen or I wish I made a different choice, you know, I wish I had been born a boy. You know, that, you ain't going to change that. I mean, you can if you go through a lot of effort and everything, but I'm not going to change that. That's, you know, that is just the way that the script is written. And my choice is, how do I live with that and not be a part of it? Because that's really, I think, what Nisargadatta is talking about as well. He's operating in the world just as he always did. His body is moving around. He's talking to people. He's smoking cigarettes. He's, you know, doing his business, having his family. He's doing all those things. But that's not him. It's just a puppet. And he watches it and he sees it, but he doesn't believe that it's him. And that's, I believe, what you're talking about, Jacqueline, and it's so true. If I don't believe that it's me, that this is all that I am, and this is what I am, and the world keeps showing it to me over and over and over, and he knows that it's not who he is. I know that it's not who I am. And the world shows me that when I look at my behaviors, like, what? I'm doing what? I'm nothing that I would, if I were making the choice right now in this ego mind of how to be and what my life is would be like, I would be a completely different kind of person doing a completely different thing. Because if I thought I could, but I don't believe that I have any choice about any of it other than to believe it or not, love it or not. And grace just moves you along through, you just become a part of the flow when you stop resisting, and the resistance is what's so painful. So thank you. Beautiful, beautiful sermon, beautiful meeting this morning, and giving you back the mic, and welcome to anyone who's new to us, Awakening Together. Please hang in here. I think you'll find a home. Anyway, Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. That was well said. Okay. Does anybody else want to share? I ran over, as I often do, and I think we're way into some other time. It's been my pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you for being my mighty companions, on the path with me. I love you all dearly. I will see you tonight at 8:00 for, the Spirit-Led Movie Watchers Discussion Group. It's going to be a lot of fun. Remember, the movie is Hate Ship, Love Ship with Kristen Wiig and Guy Pearce. It's a great movie. Watch it before 8 tonight and come prepared to talk about it. Love you guys. I'll let go of the mic. Bye.
Yeah.